You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Welcome to SS Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 21st of August, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, on Radio Aryan. And I'm joined today by Subal, who wishes to no longer be known as Subal, but wishes to be known as Brutus. Brutus, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, thank you. I've decided to, it's not the first time I've changed my name. I've changed my name multiple times on the internet, as I'm sure people are aware. I started off being called the Aryan, and then that transformed into Aryan Spring, and then that transformed into Devonshire Fascist. But I want to, I've been using the name Brutus of Troy for some time now in different parts of the internet, and I just want to, basically push that name forwards, because as I'm sure the listeners are aware, as I'm sure the audience is aware, I am a believer in Brutus of Troy. I am a believer in Geoffrey of Monmouth's History of the Kings of England, and I'm a believer in our Trojan heritage, but not many people are aware of it. So, you know, in the same way that I suppose Sargon of Akkad has made that particular king famous by adopting it as a name, I just want to adopt the name Brutus of Troy, because it means something, and maybe it will help to raise awareness of that personality.
Well, it's certainly a much better choice to make than Sargon of Akkad, I think. Brutus of Troy, yeah, and it definitely does need to, you know, to raise the awareness of that and our Trojan heritage and where the actual term British comes from. To look like Brutus, and you can't call people with brown skin British, you know, Brutus-like. It's like the word Jewish means to look like a Jew. British means to look like a Brit, to look like Brutus. That's where it originally comes from. And considering Brutus's family is where the Romans were descended from, Sylvanus and the rest of them, the Romans and the British were originally brothers. They were brother races. And the British people were extremely advanced. When you look at the amount of stone circles and megaliths that we have in the country, the history that we're told that we were just savages until the Romans came is a complete nonsense. We defeated the Romans twice in battle. When you think the Roman Empire, defeating the might of the Roman Empire, this small island, Britain, you know, we've really got to honour our ancestors in this way. So I think it's a good idea to highlight that. And, you know, it really shouldn't matter what your name is. It's the message. That's what's important, is the message that we're putting across. I mean, I've always been anonymous on the internet, and sometimes I get some stick for that, but really it's the message. And if anyone can call me out on anything that I've said, if I've said anything that contradicts or that doesn't help white people in some way, then you know, they can call me up on that. But you should be able to tell if someone is genuine from the words that they speak and from what they say and what they're advocating for. You don't need to know what somebody looks like online to know if they're white or not. You can tell from what they're saying. You know, I get ludicrous things. People are accusing me of being a Paki. It's just ludicrous. Why would a Pakistani be advocating for white people, advocating for racial purity? They'd be advocating for their own people. You know, it's a nonsense. You can tell what people are like by what they say. What we say is very important. And that's pretty much a subject that we're going to be covering in today's episode, is free speech and the way that it's being silenced online and the way that these internet companies are overstepping the mark and taking down sites that they disagree with. Really overstepping the mark and accusing the Daily Stormer of hate and advocating for violence, something which it certainly doesn't do. I mean, they're really being put through the ringer at the moment. Daily Stormer .wang, Daily Stormer .ru, Daily Stormer .lol, that's now been taken down. Namecheap have taken them down, which is just the company that sells you the actual name. How they can have the power to silence somebody, I don't know. It's you would think that these leftists would speak up against this, but the leftists don't want free speech. We had a rally at the weekend, and it was called a free speech rally. It wasn't an alt-right rally. It wasn't a far-right rally. Speakers there included an Indian with a Black Lives Matter placards behind him that was speaking there. And yet the BBC has talked about this as it being a so-called free speech rally. They've called it white supremacist. They called it neo-Nazi. They said that it was the alt-right that were at this rally. And it wasn't. It was about 20 people that were Trump supporters, multicultural, with an Indian there. And yet thousands of leftists turned out to throw bottles of urine, rocks. I've seen pictures of someone being punched in the face before he even had time to answer. Someone said, "What do you think of white people?" And he didn't even get a chance to answer. And this Negro just bounces into the shot and lays him out. Seen other people being attacked. There was somebody that that snuck in amongst the leftists, pretending to be a leftist, that got shots of them attacking people. And the BBC, the very fake news, lying BBC, have chosen to cast this rally in the same light as ISIS. You know, they call ISIS so-called Islamic State, and they called this rally so-called free speech rally. This shows two things. This shows that the left are completely against free speech. We're not going to get any sympathy there for free speech. That when it was the left that wanted to get all their policies put in, they argued for freedom of speech. And then once they're in, they then want to shut down speech altogether. And the second point is, because this rally distanced itself from the alt-right, there was no alt-right there. And because of that, there was only 20 people. 20 people. You think we had thousands at Charlottesville. 20 people is all they could muster. That shows you that the numbers are on our side.
They can't get the numbers. I mean, you look at this Gavin McInnes with his Proud Boys rubbish. I mean, it's like a bunch of Mexicans and homosexuals. You know, it's like a joke. It doesn't look like an organization that I'd want to join. No, they can't get the numbers. They can't get the numbers. I mean, this was demonstrated when they had the other freedom of speech thing in Washington, and it was supposed to be a rally for freedom of speech, but everybody stepped out because Richard Spencer was going to speak, so they all dropped out and they had their own separate rally, and their rally was just full of, you know, a bunch of weirdos and cucks and Jews, and our rally was where the energy and the power is. So I think we've won that argument. We've made it quite clear that we do have a physical presence. We can get the numbers more than anybody else, really. And our boys are more handsome and stronger and more intelligent, I think.
People are attracted to us. You bring up Gavin McInnes there. Again, it's been very interesting this week to see what's happening with rebel media. They're kicking out all their rebels. So far, they've lost Caelan Robertson, who's accused them of embezzling money, basically trying to make as much money as possible. They've lost Gavin McInnes, who is apparently going to InfoWars. Who else have they lost? Faith Goldie. They've sacked Faith Goldie because she did an interview with Asmodor on his podcast. And don't forget, this is rebel media, who are supposed to have rebel journalists who are supposed to be speaking the truth about things and are supposed to be for free speech. And yet anybody that actually does stand for free speech gets kicked off of there. This Laura Loomer, it's just Laura Loomer and Ezra Levant now. It's just these two Jews. And they are the complete caricatures of the Jews that like to infect right-wing movements and subvert them. And that's exactly what they've done with this rebel media, is try to subvert a right-wing movement. And I remember this Laura Loomer, when she did some stupid stunt, and the police said that she would be prosecuted. And it was obviously just going to be a fine for drunken disorderly or disorderly behavior, a couple of $100 fine. And yet rebel media were asking for money for legal costs. And when I saw this video, I thought, well, surely people can see through this, that this is a scam, a money-making scam. All that's going to be is a small fine, that she's not going to need money for lawyers or legal costs. it's a basic straight out fine for disorderly behaviour. And the fine would have been for a couple of hundred quid. And yet she managed to raise $13,000. So where did that money go? And what idiots donated that money to her? This woman is a menace. Fucking call her a woman.
Yeah. I think she wanted to raise $25,000, I'm pretty sure.
A 100 times as much as actually necessary.
Yeah, it's a joke. I mean, it's your classic, controlled media. It's I don't know. It's the example of controlled media. That's what rebel media is. But it's interesting to see that they can't seem to keep control of their goyim. They can't keep the good ones anyway. I mean, they've lost. I'm not a fan of Kevin McKinnon's, but a lot of people are, and they like him, and they think that he's funny. I mean, I personally think he's an old alcoholic, but anyway, they've lost him. I'm not really much of a fan of Lauren Southern, but they lost her. And Faith Goldie, I mean, we talked about her last week. I actually really like her. I think she's quite genuine and sincere. I mean, if you look at her Twitter account or whatever, she says she's a Catholic. And, well, as you know, I've got a lot of respect for Catholics. When she did her interview with Stephen Molyneux, at the end of the interview, she said something like, God bless you, or Jesus go with you, or something. I mean, when's the last time you ever heard, you never hear Gavin McInnes or Lauren Southern, mention, talk about God in a podcast. So anyway, I actually thought she was, I actually quite like her. But they lost her as well. And it's basically a sinking ship. And I suppose, before the age of the internet, before YouTube and all of that, they would have got away with keeping these people. Now it's just, it's like a leaky boat. They can't keep the talent. And this has always been, the problem for the Jews, because they don't really have much talent or creativity themselves. They don't really have much charisma themselves. Because they're an alien race of people who look differently and think differently and have a different sense of humor. And so they always rely on their goy servants to, attract people for them. And we've seen this happen in Hollywood, Hollywood movies these days. Well, I mean, what's going on with them? They're all terrible. Why? Because they got rid of all the goy writers and they got a bunch of, Jewish actors and Jewish writers in there instead. And they're just, their minds are so perverse, and they find different things amusing, and they find different things, entertaining, and so they end up churning out all these garbage movies, which the general mass of people just find repugnant, and so Hollywood's dying the same death for a similar reason. So yeah, it's really good to see rebel media crashing. It's really good to see. I hope Ezra Levant suffers.
They got minds like open sewers. You compare Laura Loomer to Faith Goldie. I think Faith Goldie's great. I was really impressed. After you mentioned her last week, I watched a couple of videos of hers and I thought, yeah, she's really good. What's she doing at Rebel Media? And don't forget, we said last week, how long will she last at Rebel Media after covering this alt-right protest? And she didn't last long, literally a couple of days. And this Laura Luma character, she looks like Medusa the Gorgon when you see her. I mean, she's a hideous creature, like her looks could turn men to stone. And she's talking about infiltrating the alt-right. She pretends to have infiltrated the Daily Stormer Discord server, which is a public server anyone can join. And then she just takes things out of context, jokes that people have made, and reports them for terrorism. This woman is a menace. And then you see her on Rebel Media and she's saying, oh, how can we get them out of our movement? Our movement? Is this a Jewish movement? It's the Jews that are trying to co-opt it. I don't understand how she can not actually see herself for what she actually is and not be questioning herself for what is she doing being involved in this, trying to insert herself into this movement. And it's exactly what Kevin McDonald talks about in his book, Culture of Critique, the way that these Jews try to infiltrate right-wing movements and subvert them. And that's exactly what she's doing. And she's a caricature of that. She's an example to everyone. If you look at the amount of people that are that Rebel Media are losing. I mean, they're losing hundreds and thousands of subs by the day. You've got people that are highlighting this and highlighting these videos. I think they're done for. I really do think they're done for. I hope Tommy Robinson leaves. I'm still fond of him, even though he is anti us and anti quote unquote Nazis. He still does a lot of good, and I do think he has some integrity. I think he just doesn't know the truth. I think that's what it is with Tommy Robinson. The people that he hangs around with aren't likely to know.
Yeah, I just don't think he's that bright, to be honest with you. I just don't think he's. I mean, he's not a very philosophical personality. Not that that's, you know, really such a bad quality, because he's more of a fighter. He's more of a soldier, which can be good in itself, because soldiers tend to see things in more simplistic terms, if you know what I mean. So they kind of like cut through a lot of the bullshit. So, he's. I don't think he's very philosophically deep. He's a working class hero. I think he needs the money, probably. I don't know. Maybe he made a lot of money out of his book. But, the thing about Tommy is that...
he's more involved with football fans, isn't he? More involved with football fans than you know, the sort of people that go to the London Forum. So he's not likely to know the truth about these things. You know, that's the way I see it anyway.
Also, I think it's just a case of loyalty. I mean, if you're in the EDL or something like that, and you've been fighting, you know, Muslims, and you've been having punch-ups with people. And I mean, he's been through all kinds of stuff. I don't think he's a saint. I'm sure he's done all kinds of crazy things in his life. And if you know, you've done those things and your friends are black, then you develop a sense of loyalty for your friends. I mean, it is what it is, basically, as far as I can see it. So I don't think he's going to swallow the race realism pill anytime soon, unfortunately.
It'd be good to see him find out, the truth about World War II. I mean, there's plenty of people that aren't racists, but are revisionists that know that we were lied to about World War II and about National Socialism. I mean, that would be a help. The main criticism that seems to get leveled at him is that he's a Zionist and that he supports Israel. But, you know, I think what he means by Zionist is just the state of Israel. I don't think he supports Jews running everybody else's countries for them. But Jews should go to Israel. They've got their own country. They've got their own ethno-state. Let's send all the Jews over there. But why don't they go? You know, I mean, I would be supporting of that. You know, it may cause problems with the Palestinians, but that's the Palestinians' problem. We've got our own problems with Jews in government and in white countries. Surely it would be better to send all the Jews back there. They keep saying that they're too frightened to live here anymore. Anyway, we should encourage it.
Yeah. I mean, what they really need is a two-state solution, and then, you know, send all the Jews there. There's about 6 million in America. That's the largest population outside of Israel. I don't know if they have enough room or to grow food and to eat and whatever, because Israel is a pretty small country, but I'm sure they'd be all right. I'm sure they'll survive.
Well, they've never able to farm, have they? They've never been able to make their own food. No. That's not a skill that they have.
They've got those kibbutz things, haven't they? But I'm sure. I don't know. I don't know how to deal with Tommy. I mean, just touch and go, I suppose. Just explain to him that we don't actually hate these people. We just don't want to get genocided, you know. Anyway, I don't know.
I think he does more. He does more good than harm. He does more good than harm. It's just that he's just got this anti-national socialist thing, this anti-white supremacist thing, and things have moved on a bit since then. I mean, everybody gets called a Nazi now. Everyone gets called a white supremacist. We saw this with his free speech rally. You know, an Indian speaker there, an Indian speaker, really dark-skinned Indian speaker, holding up signs, Black Lives Do Matter. And they were the people that were speaking at this free speech rally. And yet they were called Nazis and white supremacists by the BBC, a so-called free speech rally, and it was attacked by the Antifa, the alt-left. and deplatformed. They want to silence all free speech. Any opinion that's different to theirs, they want to silence. And that is the precise dictionary definition of a bigot. You know, they call us bigots without actually knowing what the meaning of the word is, because they are the example, the perfect example of a bigot. And this brings me really to another subject that is linked to all of this. With this deplatforming, with this silencing of our free speech, we're being removed from YouTube, we're being removed from SoundCloud, there are WordPress blogs being pulled down. So we really need to get some... We need to get tech savvy, don't we? You wanted to talk about this, Brutus, didn't you?
Whose WordPress has been taken down?
Vanguard America.
Oh, really? Oh, dear. Oh, yeah. Well, yes, I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to shill for my new website, by the way. It's called Wake Up White Boy. Not sure if I like the title that much. I just made it up in 5 minutes. But yeah, go and check it out. Wake Up White Boy. And I've got Discus up there now, so you can leave comments and stuff like that. Maybe Sven will put a link in Radio Aryan if he's kind. But yeah, I wanted to talk about this. I mean, I think we basically need to wage total war against Google and Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. I mean, obviously YouTube's owned by Google, but same thing. We need to destroy these companies. We need to bring them down. We need to take away their power. It's become very, very, clear to me now. I think it's becoming increasingly clear to other people as well. It does seem to me that there are a lot of people on the alt-right. I've seen Richard Spencer say this. I've seen Tucker Carlson say this, not that Tucker Carlson is alt-right, but anyway. I've seen Andrew Anglin say this. There are a lot of people who are saying that we need to declare that these businesses, these corporations, are public utilities, and or either that or smash them up with antitrust laws or whatever. Now, I want to make it clear, I'm not actually against that. I mean, that sounds like an okay solution to the problem, if it were possible. But who's going to do it? I mean, Donald Trump's, he can't even kick out the illegal immigrants he said he was going to kick out, right? He can't even put in place the Muslim ban that he said he was going to put in place. And it wasn't part of his, election campaign. And he's just got rid of Steve Bannon, who's our guy in the White House. So I don't see that happening anytime soon. I don't think it's the solution to our problem. What I think we need is what would be technically called a consumer revolt. That's what we need, which means that we need to just boycott these companies and we need to stop using them. And I've just spent the last week scrambling around on the internet looking for alternatives to Google and trying to find various different alternatives to all of the software that we use on the internet. And it's my belief that what we need to do is we need to adopt these various different alternative softwares, and we need to shill for them, basically, whether they are on our side or not. There are obviously many, many software engineers who are predominantly white, probably a lot of them, who are fed up with Silicon Valley. They're fed up with Google. They're fed up with these big tech industries. They're fed up with Microsoft. And they're fed up with these big industries, you know, replacing them with Indians, right? So they may not share our white nationalist views, but I'm sure there are a lot of disgruntled white men in the software industry who want to take down these big companies, and they are building alternatives. So we, as a movement, the alt-right, we need to ally ourselves with these people in whatever way that we can. And we need to promote their websites, and we need to promote their alternatives, and we need to move our group over onto their websites. And if we make the move, then we can start dragging other people with us. We can start dragging people out of the alt-right, out of the skeptic community, and out of the general base of Trump supporters. And there are millions of these people. I mean, in the alt-right itself, probably in America, you have hundreds of thousands, if not possibly even a million or so people. If we make the move, we can drag in millions of Trump supporters with us if we meme it into a reality. If we say, look, Google is evil. Google is against Trump. Google is against America. Google is anti-free speech. And this company's got to go down and we need to boycott it. If we meme this image, this idea, boycott Google, boycott Facebook, boycott YouTube, boycott Twitter, meme this idea and shill for the alternatives like VidMe, like Gab, like, there are a couple of others. There's a browser called Brave. If we shill for the alternatives and promote them, we can start bringing over the millions of Trump supporters, and we can have a consumer revolt, and we can build our own software industry. And it's a positive cycle. These new industries will make money. They'll be in favor of free speech. They'll employ, I guess, white people instead of Indians, or at least predominantly white people, or they won't be, so caught up with diversity quotas and et cetera, et cetera. And, also you have to consider that the Trump supporters, that's white America. White America's got the money, right? The Democrats, they're kind of like, you have the liberal elite at the top, who are obviously all the billionaires, the parasitic billionaires, and then you've got this massive underclass of blacks and Latinos and social justice warrior, communist, jobless scum, who don't have any money at all. But the middle class of America is predominantly white, and they're the ones with the money. These are the Trump supporters, right? So you start bringing them over onto the new pro-Trump, pro-freedom of speech tech companies, then you're bringing the money with you too, right? And all the advertisements and that whole combination as well. And I really genuinely think we can do this. We can make this shift. It might take a year, 2 years, 3 years, but we're talking about the internet here. I mean, these things can happen very quickly, theoretically, if there's a big enough buzz. So that is my proposal. That is my proposed solution to the problem of Google. We need to absolutely destroy Google.
Well, at least you've got an alternative there with this Brave browser. If you're going to go after these companies, you've got to provide decent alternatives at work. And this Brave browser does look good. And maybe people could put a symbol to Brave browser on their blogs. Things like that, or this VidMe that you're talking about there. I mean, Gab itself has raised $1 million, I think, which puts it on the same level as these other companies. So they can't just cut Gab out and say that they're not going to have a Gab app on Android, because that's a monopoly that Apple and Google have got then. It's against the trading laws, the business laws, to do something like that. Because they're a legitimate competitor once they have that amount of money. So Gab are doing well. This Brave browser looks good. And something I'd like to add to this is, I think one of the reasons why they've been able to take down these sites the way they have, because they've also taken down Rootbox and they've removed podcasts from SoundCloud, all these things. I think what people have got to do is have backup plans, so that as soon as something gets taken down, within, super quickly, they're back up again. And we had our chat room hacked last week, but I already had another chat room waiting in the wings just to activate it, basically. So I was able to destruct the old chat room and start up a new one. We've also been removed from Stitcher, which was a podcast aggregate, but we're already on other podcast aggregates. We're spread out all over the place. If you've got everything, all your eggs in one basket, then they're able to take, when they take that basket away, they're able to smash all those eggs. You have to have backup plans for everything and spread yourself around, I think is the right way to do it. I mean, we use about, well, four or five different companies. And, you know, if they were to take down one, we could just find a replacement. And it wouldn't take out the whole site, as it were. Now, I haven't heard of any blogger sites being taken down. And this is the first time I've heard of a WordPress site actually being taken down. But it could possibly be linked to the amount of people that they're actually reaching, that Vanguard America were reaching with their WordPress site. But surely they must just be able to set up again on Blogger. And there are other companies as well that can be used for setting up blogs. As far as I'm aware, I mean, they don't tend to police these blogging sites as much as they do, say, YouTube. Because if you set up your own blogging site, that's your blog. That's what you want to say. People aren't going to come across that by accident. And the excuse they use with YouTube is that if you put something that's racist on YouTube, somebody might come across that by accident and be shocked by it. And the same with Facebook and the same with Twitter. But if you've got people don't go looking to see all the different blogs on Blogger or looking to see all the different blogs on WordPress. And that's what you say. That's your private thoughts that you put up there for the public to view. And if they don't want to read them, they can just switch off. So I think it's a different way of looking at things with blogs than they do with YouTube and Facebook. And also because the BBC talk about Facebook and Twitter. So it's like the BBC are endorsing everything that's on Facebook and everything that's on Twitter. So when something's on there that contradicts the BBC, they don't want it on there. So I think you've got to pick and choose which platform you're going to be using. And I think another way of fighting back on this, if you look at this recent Namecheap that dropped dailystormer.lol, that was in response to people writing to Namecheap and asking them to do that. Now, how about we write, you know, we knew this was going on, but looking through the tweets and the rest of it, there's not very many of us writing to them saying, look, the Daily Stormer aren't advocating violence. This is a free speech issue. Most of what they're saying is joke. It's not meant to be taken seriously. We don't really want to start shoving Jews into ovens because, of course, we don't believe that happened in the first place. People should be writing to these companies and saying, when we hear something like this is going to happen, I mean, I'm very surprised that there wasn't a mobilized effort to write to Namecheap saying, look, you've got a chance here to stand up for free speech. We're not advocating violence. You know, come on, have courage here. But, you know, they just, as far as I'm aware, that didn't happen. So maybe that's a different tack that we could take as well. Write to the companies when we know that somebody is being targeted, when a company is being targeted for one of our sites, write to them and say, please don't take the site down. It's not violent. You know, I support what they say. Even if you don't approve of what they say, surely they've got the right to say it. And if you remove that right, then you're taking away, you know, the freedom of expression. You have to say what you see. I mean, this goes back to the Bible in the New Testament. Now, you have to be free to say things how you see it. I think it was St. Paul that said this when he was in court. You have to say what you see and speak what your ears hear, and that's as true back then as it is today, and especially on the internet, where you're talking to a lot of people. Just silence someone. I mean, what they're doing to Andre, it's like out of 1984, where they were trying to erase all evidence of somebody even being alive. And he's trying to erase all evidence of the Daily Stormer. You know, total fascism was gone. Just trying to pretend that he doesn't exist. And that really is straight out of George Orwell's book, 1984.
Well, I think it's very much a case of, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And we're really going to bounce back from this. I'm quite confident that we will. It seems we've managed to overcome their initial attack. I just wanted to deliberately point out a few of these alternatives that I've been researching. First of all, obviously, we mentioned Gab. Gab is the alternative to Twitter. It's it's pretty functional. It's run by a guy called Andrew Torba. He's actually done a few interviews with Infowars.com talking about free speech and that kind of thing. So I haven't watched any of them yet, but he looks like a, well, he's a young, you know, white guy, American guy. He looks pretty cool. I mean, he wears a Trump hat. And so, yeah, I think you're right, Sven. We need to kind of lionize him as our hero and our leader, really. I mean, we need to get on his side and talk to him and make him understand that we appreciate him doing what he's doing. Perhaps we can even do some podcasts. I mean, I don't know. They've just had Faith Goldie on, you know, on Asmodor's podcast. Why not have Andrew Torba on there as well? It seems like a good idea. The second guy that I want to shill for is this guy. He's called Brendan. I don't know. How do you say this? Brendan Eich. I don't know. E-I-C-H. So anyway, Brendan Eich. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but he's the guy that was kicked off of Firefox or Mozilla or whatever that thing is called, that company. He created that company and he donates. At the time that we were having the big debate about whether gay marriage should be allowed or not, he donated some money in his own, out of his own free will and volition to some kind of anti-gay marriage political platform. And people found out about it and they kicked him off his, they kicked him out of his own company. And this caused a big stir. I think this is in 2016, I think. So he started a new browser. It's called Brave. It's got a big picture of a lion on it. Just Google it and it'll pop up. And, yeah, I've just started using it. It's pretty good. It's functional. It's quite fast. It's got all kinds of, I'm not really a tech guy, you see, I'm not really a software guy, but it's got a whole bunch of, you know, special things about privacy and blocking ads and cookies and all this kind of stuff. And, it's quite fast. It's quite functional. And, I think that we should definitely use it as the alternative to Google Chrome. This is, you know, it's a little baby step in the right direction. In 2-3 years time, Brave could be the, you know, the number one browser instead of Google Chrome, if we just make it popular and if we get Trump supporters to support it. Now, next up, I've been looking for an alternative to Google. I mean, Google is so famous now that it's become a verb, really, hasn't it? I mean, I just said it just then, Google it, right? Which is very, you know, unfortunate. It's kind of like Sellotape or whatever. It's a real high status brand, but obviously they're fiddling with the algorithms, and they're going to start, you know, fiddling it even more to keep our content out. And I mean, we saw the whole scandal a few months ago where if you go onto Google and you Google English people or American people, and a bunch of black people come up, and it's insane. So I've been looking for alternatives to this. A lot of people have been suggesting DuckDuckGo, but I'm afraid that, unfortunately, I'm pretty 99% certain the guy that created this website and runs this website is a Jew. His name is Gabriel Weinberg. And, yeah.
That's a definite Jew. That's a definite Jew, I think. What about StartPage? Have you looked into that one?
Yeah, well, anyway, I looked up Weinberg's history, and his family came over from Germany in 1933 and his grandmother's a psychoanalyst, so I'm pretty sure that guy's a Jew. Yeah, StartPage is the one that I've started using now. Again, if you download the Brave browser and you look in the settings, there's a whole list of different search engines that you can use, and one of those is StartPage, and it's pretty good. Unfortunately, I did a little bit of research into it. It seems like it may just be using Google results, but it's, you use it for privacy, basically. It uses Google results, but it stops Google from tracking you. So I'm not sure that it's the best solution, but it's the one I'm using now. So I don't know. Let's wait and see if I can find something else. What else did I want to shill for? We did Gab, we did Brave, we did Startpage. VidMe.
Yeah, Vidri, you've been looking at. I remember the days of Scroogle. Do you remember that? Scroogle?
No.
Yeah, you could use Scroogle instead of Google. And eventually they just couldn't cope up with all the people that wanted to use it, I think, and they had to fold it. But yeah, that was a good one, Scroogle. Sorry,
there
go on.
There was actually a Russian one which I was using, which is called Yandex, which is actually pretty good. I mean, it's quite fast, quite efficient. But I don't know. I mean, the problem is it's Russian, right? And I don't know. I couldn't fix it to make it only English, and all these Russian words kept turning up. And it's not something that you're going to get Trump supporters to support, because obviously it's, you know, that's against the principle of America first, right? So it has to really be an American company that we're going to shill for, or at least a European company or a white company. Well, I mean, I guess Russia is white and European, but really, yeah, I think it needs to be an American company if you're going to get Trump America to get on board with it. But that's an option. Yandex was pretty good. And what was I going to talk about? Vidme. Yeah, I've been talking to Millennial Woes about this. He says, as I'm sure many of you have noticed, he says he's probably going to shut down his accounts soon. As we know, Murdoch's been shut down. Doomguard's been shut down. A lot of people, I got shut down twice, didn't I? But he's gone on to Vidme. But he was telling me that actually Vidme does censor. And I've never heard anybody else say this, but apparently he heard it secondhand. So I'm not sure. I didn't note down their names. I did look up the two people that created Vidme, and I tried to find out if they were Jewish, and I couldn't find anything. So they look like Goyim to me, but I'm not sure. But yeah, Vidme seems like the obvious solution and alternative to YouTube. It's pretty good. It's pretty functional. Good, chat room. I think they even have the possibility of monetization, because you can give tips. So it's pretty good. But Millennial Woes, he says it censors. So we'll have to see what happens in that respect. Millennial Woes is shilling for a site called BitChute, which is a video hosting platform which uses some kind of bit technology. It's just a small little site. They use Discus, actually, interestingly enough, for the chat. So I think Millennial Woes is going to use Vidme as his main channel from now on, and BitChute as a backup channel. So that seems to be the solution to the YouTube problem. And that's as far as I got. I haven't found, as far as alternative email goes, there's Proton Mail, but that's like a heavily encrypted thing, and you have limited how much storage you can have, and et cetera, et cetera. There was another one, I didn't note down the name, and I've forgotten it, but that's based in Iceland, and I had an interesting conversation on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that.
I started writing to him saying, oh yeah, you know, the alt-right, it's getting kicked off different platforms. I was thinking about promoting your email site as an alternative to Google, because I want to destroy Google. And the guy writes back and he's just like, yeah, good. I hate the alt-right. It deserves to be destroyed. This is a guy from Iceland. And I said, well, you know, do you have a bunch of Muslims in your country running around raping people? What do you think of that? And he just blocked me just like that. So total cuckold. And this is one of
you
the
asked
unfortunate...
asked him if he was a Jew as well, didn't you? Can you ask him if he was a Jew? Are you Jewish?
I don't know. I don't think they have too many Jews in Iceland. I mean, it's like only like 250,000 people in the whole flipping country. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But that is one of the obstacles that we're going to come up against if we try to, work with the software industry. It does seem like there are a lot of cuckolds in that industry, unfortunately. But there you go. There's some solutions. Brave, Startpage, Vidme, Gab. That's it, I think.
Good work.
As I got.
It's a shame we don't have TrueTube around anymore. I mean, Mike Delaney set up TrueTube 4 or 5 years back, something like that. And there are thousands of videos on there. but it just took so much time to manage it, and the money as well. I mean, it's costing money for the server space. I guess this is the issue: is if you're using somewhere else for server space, then they could always shut you off. So you need to try and sort out your own, you know, your own hardware and servers to manage this, which is all going to cost money. So it'd be interesting to see what this BitChute thing does. And the days of TrueTube, I mean, that was good. There was no censorship whatsoever on TrueTube, and it did have quite a following, and it did have quite a reach. But you know, it just took so much time for him to keep managing it. I think I used to donate to TrueTube and support it and try and get that going as an alternative platform, but it just failed. And maybe the time is right now for our own platforms, now that we have so many more people that are involved. And as you say, pulling in the people from the Trump movement as well, and getting them involved in it. Maybe not even just the people from the Trump movement. There's got to be some people on the left that still support free speech. I mean, I've seen them saying, well, I don't agree with what these guys are saying, but I certainly agree with their right to say it. They must be given their right to say it. It's these antifas, these horrible creatures they are. I saw an interview, the Millie something from InfoWars talking to Antifa at Charlottesville, the state of these creatures that she was talking to. They were just vicious. They had no interest in having a dialogue, no interest in having a debate. They just come there to kill Nazis. That is all they're interested in doing, is violently attacking people. They don't care what the other side has to say. They've just been told that they're Nazis, so they must attack them for having a different view to them. Really, I think three quarters of them were mongrels as well. I think there's a large portion of mongrelization among the Antifa that just have a hatred of anything that isn't mongrelized, basically, anything that hasn't been destroyed already. They want to go out and destroy it so that everything's damaged. Do you know what I mean? If I'm damaged, so I want to damage everything else. I think there's a certain amount of that to it. Yeah, it's just horrible, it's people.
Yeah, it's envy. That's what the Jews are like. They want to destroy anything that's beautiful. They see a beautiful white family, and they're like, yeah, let's just tear that to pieces.
Well, they think that people will agree with that as well. And with this, recently over there, they had some, in America, they had some TV program, The Man in the High Castle, about as if America was all National Socialist. And a lot of the promotional stuff for it showed you white families. And this was put across as, this is horrible. Wouldn't you hate to live in an America like this? And it backfired on them. It completely backfired on them, because, you know, people thought, well, yes, we would like to live in America like this. What's the problem with that? Do you hate white families? I mean, they're getting pretty blatant with their hatred of white people. With this, with Steve Bannon, I mean, it's very upset to see that Trump folded and sacked Steve Bannon, because the media kept saying, are you going to sack Steve Bannon? What's Steve Bannon got to do with a protest at Charlottesville? Nothing whatsoever. And yet the journalists were calling for Trump to sack him, and he finally gave in. And the Huffington Post, they put up this big headline, by Goy. Goy by. Blatantly calling white people and non-Jews cattle, basically. Yeah. Showing that the Jews really run things.
They've really crossed the Rubicon with that one. I mean, this is kind of like the meme that we'd put out. You know, it's kind of they're creating our memes for us now. They're basically
Hopkins picked up on it. Even Katie Hopkins picked up on it. I've been really impressed with her lately, looking at her tweets. You know, she gets closer and closer to our ideology every day. And she was drawing up parallels between what happened in Charlottesville and saying not all white nationalists, and comparing it to the Muslims driving vehicles into people. And she highlighted this by Goy thing. I think it's probably from her trip with Identity Europa on that ship with Brittany Pettibone and others. She certainly seems to be moving further in our direction. which is great, I think.
Did she go out there? I missed that.
I think she was reporting on it on the Daily Mail. I didn't, properly investigate it, but I know she was out there, and there was photographs that she released of her with the girls on the ship there. I mean, they've had some success. I believe they've stopped the Doctors with No Borders. They've stopped them from continuing to pick up the invasion and ferrying these people across to Italy and Spain. And she was pointing out the hypocrisy of this refugees welcome, and then the refugees hiring a van and killing lots of people this last weekend. And have you seen what they're doing about that? They're now going to make it, I mean, pretty predictable. I mean, we've been joking about this all year. What they're going to do, banning vehicles, banning vans, what they're going to do is make it much harder for people to hire vehicles. Instead of getting rid of Muslims, instead of the people that carry out these terrorist attacks, investigating them, locking up the criminals, deporting them, they're going to make it much harder for people to hire a van.
Ludicrous. Yeah. They'll just, you can take everything away in the end. They'll just pick a rock, they'll just pick a rock up and bash some old granny's head in it. It's just, you can't de-weaponize these people. It's ridiculous. It's a joke. But it is good. I mean, yeah, I totally agree. Katie Hopkins is probably Britain's best journalist, really. I think, she was on Trump's side. She's one of the few, very, very few people in this country to support Trump, to support Anne Coulter. As you say, she supported Identity Europa. She supported Tommy Robinson. Who else has done what she's done? I mean, what is that old fool Peter Hitchens doing? My God, what a pathetic, worthless old coward that guy is. I mean, every time there's a terrorist attack, he just blames it on marijuana. I mean, I'm really
seriously. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm really sick because I used to be... Peter Hitchens was the guy who really first started me on the journey of the red pill. I remember quite clearly I watched a video of his, and he was talking about why he likes Putin. And he was the first one that made me think, oh, maybe Russia's good, which is, a step in the right direction. And I've read three of his books, quite informative. But yeah, just a total spineless, pathetic, useless person. Can't even support UKIP. Can't even support Donald Trump. Can't even support Tommy Robinson. What does he do? Just paleo conservative that conserves nothing. Very, very useless and disappointing, unfortunately. But he has a following of millions. Millions of old baby boomers like himself he's admitted. He's openly admitted. He said, I've given up. I tried to tell people and I've just given up. And that's it. I'm just going to write about the decline. That's what I'm going to. We're going to record the decline so that other people in the future can read about it. That's it. It's given up. Pathetic, well, useless. Thank God we got Katie Hopkins. I really despise him, actually.
Katie Hopkins, yeah. I mean, she really does get a lot of hate mail. I mean, we're all used to the hate mail, and we're used to the Antifa. But she, that's a mainstream media personality that gets all this hate mail as well. She must have sympathies with us. What do you think of that Jacob Rees-Mogg? I think he's pretty good. He spoke at a traditional Britain dinner a while back. Of course, he disavowed the racism afterwards, but the very fact that he went and spoke at a traditional Britain dinner is great. And he seems really good. He's a traditionalist, very, very British, very, very English. That's what we need. Maybe he's the next Nigel Farage, I think.
Well, yes. I mean, I just saw in the newspaper today that what was the headline? It wasn't a head. Well, it was inside the paper, but I think it said "Mogmania." Yeah, that was the title they used. "Mogmania" to describe the explosion of support for this guy to become the next prime minister, and they are comparing him to Jeremy Corbyn. In that Corbyn, I mean, I'm not a supporter of Jeremy Corbyn for obvious reasons, but Jeremy Corbyn is not a typical Blairite. He's more of a traditional communist, right? He actually has some communist principles. And originally the leaders of the Labour Party were totally against him, but the old hardcore Labour supporters, they really like him and they pushed him forward and made him the leader of the party. And this newspaper article and several other articles as well have said the same thing about Mogg. They're saying that, you know, the grassroots Tory supporters, they really, really like this guy and they want him to replace Theresa May. And I'm thinking about it today. I think he may be our best shot in saving this country. I really do, because we have 17 million people that voted for Brexit. And come the next election, these people are going to be really annoyed because what's Theresa May? She's done nothing, right? Even if we do get some kind of Brexit, we've still got mass immigration coming in from Pakistan, right? Which was, that was always the subtext to Brexit. I mean, yeah, the Polish, okay, that's a problem. But really, people don't want to be ethnically replaced. They want the immigration to stop. That's what they really voted for, whether they were capable of admitting it to themselves or not. It was always an anti-immigration referendum. And so even if we do get a half-assed Brexit, we're still going to have mass immigration and people are going to be angry come the next election. Now, as I've already said, I believe at that time, Theresa May will be forced to stand down and they're going to play the Boris card, right? Boris is obviously just a brain dead career politician, doesn't have any morals at all, but they're going to push him forward and they're going to say, well, Boris is on the side for Brexit. He should have been prime minister instead of Theresa May. And, you know, let's bring him in and he'll save the day for the Tory party. That's going to be their plan. And a whole bunch of stupid Tory voters may fall for it. So that is that's what I believe they're going to plan to do.
And Jacob Rees-Mogg, he might be the alternative. I mean, I definitely support him.
I really believe that the right, we need to get behind this guy. I mean, they've already had a massive buzz being, you know, building this guy up from the Tory supporters. So we really need to do whatever we can to contribute to that and to help this guy become the next leader of the Tory party and hopefully the next prime minister. And then he could get those 17 million votes and do something to fix this country. He could be our Donald Trump, if you like. Probably better than Donald Trump. He's actually a Catholic and it looks like he actually has some principles. So, yeah, I think Mogg could be Britain's last hope at this point.
I think there was a Facebook fan page for him and Facebook removed it. Said they were racists.
Right.
You know, so these people, you know, they know what it's like to be attacked by the left. They must have sympathy for the rest of us that have been attacked. I mean, everybody who is slightly right of centre now is a Nazi white supremacist. We saw this at this Boston rally. Even Indians are now Nazi white supremacists if they stand up for free speech. So anyone that actually supports free debate, free conversation, talking to one another is now a Nazi. Nazi white supremacist. So Jacob Rees-Mogg, he's a Nazi white supremacist. So yeah, we definitely want him as prime minister. Brutus, I almost called you Subal then. We've reached the end of the podcast. Let's have a quick recap. So you're suggesting we use Brave as a browser. You're suggesting we use VidMe instead of YouTube, that people sign up with Gab and also investigate what search engines we can use so that we're not using...
I'm using Startpage.
Startpage. And also advertise this stuff on your sites. So put Gab up there, put Brave up there. So people see these other alternatives to the ones that are trying to silence our speech. Okay,
also check out my blog. What's my blog called? Wake up white boy. Blogger.com. And I do realize that Blogger is owned by Google. I'm gonna have to find a different host. I don't know. I don't know. You're just telling me that WordPress is closing people down, so I don't know what the hell I'm gonna do. But yeah, check it out because I've made a lot of posts talking about this and other related subjects. So yeah.
And don't forget, we also have a Bitcoin wallet, and I desperately need a new computer. This one is falling apart. The buttons are falling apart on it. I'm having problems connecting, and yeah, we do need some new equipment here at Radio Aryan. We do have a Bitcoin wallet. You can find it at the radioaryan.com site in the sidebar. Also, don't forget that Morgoth requires contributions to keep his blog going, and also all the work that he does on Twitter. I mean, he's brilliant on Twitter. Morgoth is challenging these leftists. He does it. He seems to be doing it all day long. He does a great job of it as well. Brutus, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners. Yep. For listening, we'll be back next week with more SS Britannia for you. So until then, we hope you all have a great week ahead of you.
You are listening to Radio Aryan. For an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.